Good morning, and once again we welcome you and are so thankful that you have chosen to join us this morning as we once again come together to worship through God's written word and seek to better understand his plan for us and his principles and purposes for us in this life and in the life yet to come in his presence. Would you please join me now for a word of prayer? Abba, Father, we do thank you for today. We thank you for each and every day, Father, that you give us. It's a gift from you. We are thankful that you are who you are. Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, that you are a shelter in times of storms and struggles, that you are a Father who loves beyond all human measure. We thank you so much for Jesus, the gift that he is to us and the work that he has done on our behalf, his willingness to lay down his life that we might have life. And life not just for a moment or just for the time we spend here on this earth, but for all eternity, because it's in him that we find life with you, in your presence, now and forevermore. We continue to lift up this nation and the nations around the world, Father. We're in desperate need of a move of your Spirit. We ask for calm this week, Father, as we step into that period in this country of a transition from one administration to another. We pray that it would continue to be peaceful. We ask that you would grant us wisdom. We ask that you would be with our new leaders, Father, that they would be people that would begin to seek you again, to fervently seek you, to desire your wisdom, and to lead in accordance with your word and in accordance with your truths. Father, just now we pray for those who have lost loved ones this week. Father, some very near and dear to me are struggling through that now, and I just ask that you would wrap your arms around each family, not just the one I know, and that you would love them. Father, that you would use your church, your people, to reach out to them in this time of hurt and anguish. We pray for those, Father, who are struggling with physical and mental and emotional illnesses. We ask that you would touch each one of them, that you would bring healing in a way that only you can, that you would restore and that you would renew. Father, continue to be with the men and women of our armed forces as they stand in the gap, defending our rights to be free and our rights to worship you in this way. Just now, I ask that you would set me aside. Father, that you would make me a listener to your message as you use my voice to speak it. Would you open the hearts of each one who is listening today, that we might receive a blessing because we've been in your word and because we have looked to you. May we regain, Father, a sense of our need for you and a sense of our need to rest in you. And so, Father, just now, calm our hearts, still our spirits. Come and share with us. In Jesus' name, amen. In his book, 24-Hour Society, Dr. Martin Moreed points out that our most notorious industrial accidents over the past 50 years, accidents such as the Exxon Valdez, Three Mile Island, Chernobyl, the fatal navigational error of the Korean Airlines Flight 007, all occurred in the middle of the night. When the USS Vincennes shot down an Iranian A-300 Airbus, killing all 290 people aboard, fatigue-stressed operators in the high-tech combat information center on the carrier misinterpreted radar data when, in fact, telling the captain the jet was descending as if to attack when, in fact, it had remained on a normal flight pattern the entire time. In the Challenger space shuttle disaster, key NASA officials made a ill-fated decision to go ahead with a launch after working 20 hours straight and getting only 2 or 3 hours of sleep the night before. Their error in judgment cost the lives of 7 astronauts and nearly killed the United States space program. Wayne Cordera, in his book, Leading on Empty, recounts a dream he once had. He tells of a man and his family who own a small farm, and they take their produce and the things from the farm to the local farmer's market and sell it there. People would come and buy those products, a gallon of milk, a set of ripe tomatoes. Another would buy cheese. Still others would buy eggs and corn. A lady came and asked for something they didn't have. But the farmer simply said, "Come back tomorrow, and I'll have it for you." The irate lady gave the farmer a sour look, but it didn't bother him. He just went back to work. That was how it was on the farm. Chickens can lay just so many eggs in a day. Cows have just so much milk. And a few more tomatoes will ripen before tomorrow morning. Yet people still came, standing in line for products, buying up all the products that the farmer sold out of that day. This happened every day, because this particular farm offered the freshest and the finest of produce. And when they ran out, and they inevitably would, the farmer would simply say, "Come back tomorrow, and I will have more." This very same truth we find is reflected in each one of our lives as well. Our physical bodies will, from time to time, run out of energy. We will only run for so long, and then we'll begin to fail, to slip. The products that we do produce begin to degrade in quality, and eventually we are no good to anyone unless we take that time to get some much needed rest, to replenish our energies, to gain more strength. I unfortunately have experienced those times in my life when I pressed on so much that I was so tired that errors began to be made. Errors that would later have to be corrected. As we have seen, there are times when just such an approach of pressing on without rest cost lives. Maybe the life of the individual themselves, or if not them, then certainly others, as we saw in the shuttle Challenger tragedy. The Oxford English Dictionary defines rest in this way: a ceasing of work or movement in order to relax and to gather strength. It would further clarify or add the meaning that it is a period when we allow ourselves to become inactive in order to regain strength and health. Rest is an essential component in our lives, and when we ignore our need for rest and renewal, we do so at our own peril. As much as this is true of our physical lives, I believe it is paramount importance when we begin to speak about our spiritual lives. For when we fail to take time to rest and refresh spiritually, we become even more susceptible to the enemy's deceits and lies. And lives hang in the balance. It's been said that one of the most destructive effects is that of tiredness, exhaustion, or burnout. and it increases our susceptibility to sin. Temptations long held at bay seem to take on a new strength. And the one suffering such a malady may have much less resistance to overcome those temptations. We've seen ministers fall because they didn't take the time to rest. Let me share with you just one example of this very truth that we find in Scripture. And there are more, but I just want to share this one with you this morning. It's found in the Old Testament story of two brothers. Twins, actually. Scripture describes the one as a hunter and a man of the field, a laborer. The other as a quiet man, dwelling in tents. Their names? Esau and Jacob. Jacob, the quiet man, would one day trick his brother Esau and rob him of something that was very precious, his birthright as being the firstborn of the two sons. How does he do it? By preying upon his brother when he is at his weakest moment, his weakest point. He is tired, he is worn out, he is hungry. Genesis 25, 29 through 33 reads, "Once when Jacob was cooking stew, Esau came in from the field, and he was exhausted. And Esau said to Jacob, 'Let me eat some of that red stew, for I am exhausted.' Therefore his name was called Edom. Jacob said, 'Sell me your birthright now.' Esau said, 'I'm about to die. Of what use is my birthright to me?' Jacob said, 'Swear to me now.' So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. In his moment of exhaustion, Esau makes an extremely poor decision, one that would plague him for much of the rest of his life. He gives his birthright away to his brother. If we as humans know that the best time of taking advantage of one another, as Jacob did to Esau, to catch them and when they're worn out and tired, how much truer do you think that is of our enemy, Satan, as he deals with our spiritual lives, as he tries to derail our lives and our relationship with Jesus Christ? Let's not forget, it is exactly what he did and he used against Jesus himself. Jesus, after his baptism, we're told, went out into the wilderness and fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. That fasting in that vernacular in that time meant that he had gone out to separate from food and to focus totally on being alone with God. And at the end of that 40 days, he was hungry. His weakest point was that of his hunger, and Satan came to him and he said this, 'If you are the Son of God, then prove it. I know you're hungry. No one can go this long without food and not be hungry. It's not possible. So show me who you really are by commanding these stones to become bread.' While Jesus was without food, and he was certainly hungry and struggling, he was not without spiritual rest and strength that he had gained from spending 40 days resting in the presence of his Father. A strength he had been building up. So he turns Satan away by reminding him, 'Man does not live on bread alone, or human food for that matter, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God.' Yes, Jesus was tired, but he wasn't spiritually weak because he had been spending all of that time fasting and resting in the presence of his loving Father. There's another word that I want us to come to understand and realize and recognize the importance in our lives as well, especially our physical lives, but also our spiritual lives, and that is the word rhythm. Rhythm is defined as a strong, regular, repeated pattern of movement or sound or a regular recurring sequence of events or actions. Normally, when we think of rhythm, our mind goes to music, to the tempo and to the beat of a given song or a given composition. There are at least 30 terms that describe the tempo or speed of a piece of music. The tempo is easy to hear. We don't even have to listen carefully for it. It's the repetitive pulse in the music that we hear and feel physically vibrating through us. The beat is the sound. The tempo is the speed of those beats, which doesn't come from the sound, but actually the space between the sounds. A momentary succession of sound, and it is in that brief succession, that brief resting, if you will, that we begin to savor the sound and feel and feed on its beat. We need only to look back to the beginning of everything to see that God, in His infinite wisdom, has created this world and everything in it, us included, to live in a rhythm. His rhythm. God created a rhythm for our lives and a rhythm for His creation. When we look at creation, He created heaven and earth, and He set earth in space, and it began to revolve around the sun. And so every 365 days, like clockwork, we began a new year. Each day is a 24-hour period. The day ruling it by the light of the sun, and night being ruled by the moon and the stars. And when He created His most treasured possessions, us, you and me, man, He put within us natural rhythms. Stop to think, our lungs breathe at a regular interval, inhaling and exhaling. That process can be sped up by stress and exertion, and it's slowed when the body seeks to slow down and rest and to recuperate and draw strength. The same is true of our hearts. Our hearts beat in a specific rhythm. Science calls it our sinus rhythm. It too can be sped up under stress and exertion, but slows down and recoups when the body is at rest or it sleeps. Notice, as part of our natural rhythm, rest is a central part. We spend time exerting ourselves and stressing this body, and our rhythms speed up to that stress. But in order to gain strength, we need to slow down. We need to find those moments of rest. We find God setting, and I believe in a sense ordaining, this rhythm of rest in our lives by the example He sets at the end of His 6 days of creation. God has finished His work. All of creation is completed. And we're told that God rested. Look with me at Genesis 2, 1-3. Thus the heavens and earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God finished His work that He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work that He had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. He set it apart. He made it a part of a rhythm, because on it God rested from all His work that He had done in creation. The type of rest, however, that we see God taking is not a physical rest. Well, that is without a doubt something we as humans are very much in need of. It is not something that God needed. God was not so physically or mentally exhausted from His 6 days of creation that He couldn't go on without rest. And yet, we're told He did exactly that. He rested. Scripture bears out that God is one who never grows tired or weary. No, this rest is one which allowed God to enjoy and in some sense celebrate His creation, His work. God has completed all of creation, everything that He wanted to create. He has created. And now he's stepping back like the consummate artist and looking at his work and celebrating what he has created. On the sixth day, we're told God creates all of the animals, the beasts of the fields, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea. Oh, and don't forget the most prized of his possessions, you and I. It is at this moment God chooses, in the Hebrew vernacular, to Shabbat, to rest. Shabbat, at its base meaning, sense, means to put to an end or to cause something to cease. What had ceased? God's creation. He had finished that. He would continue to be one who protected, one who provided. He continued to work, but he had finished that work. And it's at that moment that God steps back and he reflects upon all that he has created. Genesis 1:31. And God saw everything that he had made. You see him stepping back and he's surveying all that he has made. And behold, we're told, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. Many scholars point to this rest as a time when God spends quality time with his creation. That he is in total communion with all that he has created. That he is present physically in his creation. They point to the passage in chapter 3 of Genesis where we're told that God walks with man in the cool of the day. There's that picture of God and man being together, celebrating one another, loving and growing in their relationship to one another, a period of rest. This rest began on the seventh day, a day when God and man were together. So Shabbat is not a time of ceasing physical work specifically, although it's a part of our human rest. It is a time to enjoy and celebrate and draw closer to God and his kingdom. Remember, we said God does not weary or tire, but we certainly do. And it's in those moments that unless we take time to rest both physically and spiritually, to take the time to drink in the love and the grace and the mercy and the presence, the very presence of God, to draw strength and refresh, that we become more or most susceptible to the enemy's attack. Certainly something the nation of Israel understood. Isaiah writes about a time when Israel was struggling. They thought God had abandoned them. In Isaiah 40, 28 through 31, we find these words. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has might, he increases, who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Notice as Isaiah speaks to a weary nation, a nation who is so tired of the struggle and that they have come to believe that God has totally forgotten them, that he doesn't care about them, that he has abandoned them. And the prophet reminds them that God never tires. He never ceases to care, to watch over them, to protect them, to provide for them. A truth even Jesus himself speaks to in the Gospels when he's confronted and he speaks to the Jewish leaders and he says this, "My Father is working until now." You see, God has never stopped working. He's always been vital and important in the lives of his children. He says, "My Father is working until now, and I too am working." We see, as we see in verse 30 of Isaiah chapter 40, While God doesn't grow weary, we do. We will grow weary and we will faint. We will reach from time to time a point of fatigue, both physically and spiritually. I believe Israel's bigger fatigue, as Isaiah is speaking to them as he's sharing this message, is that of spiritual, not physical fatigue. They have lost sight of God. They feel that He has left them and that they were without hope. And yet, listen carefully as Isaiah speaks truth to them. God gives power to the faint. To him who has no might, he increases strength. He tells them that in the rhythm of life, we are going to hit moments when we grow faint and risk falling from exhaustion. While many of us have, while many of us have had time to slow down over the course of these past few months, we still echo the words of the Israelites. We're tired. We're struggling. Why? Because while we have been able to rest physically, our spiritual lives have not always found the rest they need. Isaiah encourages the Israelites and he encourages us to wait upon the Lord for a renewed strength. What he in a sense, I believe, is saying is rest in Yahweh. Take a moment. Cease from everything else, even from the slowing of your physical life, and slow down enough to be present with Yahweh. To worship Him with everything you are. To take time to slow down and breathe Him in again. It is in these moments that we will find a new strength and soon be ready to press on once again. This period of rest is not, however, a ceasing of everything. It is a ceasing of the things that have taken our hearts and our focus off of God, away from God. It's a time of rest that allows us to refocus on the one who has given everything on our behalf. As we rest, we need to be sure that we are using this time to truly spiritually worship and commune with our God. It is through such communion that we grow in strength. It is in this communion that we repair and strengthen our armor and sharpen our swords. Accomplished through quiet times with Him in prayer and devotion to His Word. A story is told of two men who had been tiring job of clearing a field of trees. The contract called for them to be paid by the number of trees that they felled. Bill wanted the day to be profitable, so he grunted and sweated, swinging the axe relentlessly. Ed, on the other hand, seemed to be working about half as fast. He even took a rest and set off to the side for a few minutes. Bill kept chopping away, until every muscle and tendon in his body was screaming for him to stop. At the end of the day, Bill was terribly sore. But Ed was smiling and telling jokes. Amazingly, Ed had cut down more trees than Bill. Bill said, "I noticed you sitting while I worked without a break. How in the world did you outwork me?" Ed smiled. "Didn't you notice? While I was sitting, I was sharpening my axe." In essence, Ed was saying, while I ceased my work, my struggle, I was preparing for the next set of trees that I needed to feld. I was sharpening the tools I would need to fully complete the task at hand. Rest does not mean that nothing is going on in your life. Rather, it means that you are preparing for what lies ahead. Remember, God has created a rhythm in each of us which we should live within that will prepare us for what He has in store and for the mission that He has called us to complete. The key part of the rhythm is a willingness to rest. We need to be willing to take those moments to be alone and truly worship God, to rest, to Sabbat. As we said earlier, rhythm in music isn't realized in the sound of a piece of music, but rather in the space between the sounds, in the rest and the breath marks of a given composition. The same is true in the rhythm of our lives. Musical compositions which are written by the greatest composer of all time, Yahweh Himself, complete with rests and breath marks. Scripture points out a clear rhythm of rest for our soul. Jesus, we're told, often rose early in the morning, escaping to a quiet place and resting alone with His Father. God spent 6 days creating the heavens and the earth, and then He chose to rest on the seventh, spending time walking with us in the cool of the day. He would also command regular moments of extended rests. Three specific special festivals. A sabbatical year. A year of jubilee. Maybe the place for us to start. Maybe that's a place for us to start. To seek to build that rhythm, God's rhythm, into our lives. I encourage you to begin to find time to truly sabbat, to truly rest, to truly cease and be in the presence of God. Allow me to propose a possible rhythm for each of us to adopt. It's really not mine, it's God's. 1 hour a day. 1 day a week. And 1 week a year. Of authentic Sabbath rest, focused totally on the presence and being present with God. Remember, this rest is not just ceasing something, but it is a time to spend in true, authentic worship of Almighty God. Many people often think that taking a break will derail the momentum of their work, but the research tells us otherwise. An article in the Harvard Business Review examines a prime benefit of taking breaks. They allow us to take a step back and make sure we're accomplishing the right things in the right way. Studies show we have a limited capacity for concentrating over extended periods of time. And though we may not be practiced at recognizing the symptoms of fatigue, they unavoidably derail our work. Rest plays a key component in how we work, and these breaks give us goal reactivation. If this is true of our physical lives, this day-to-day rhythm in our lives, how much more relevant do you think it is in our spiritual lives and our need for soul reactivation? It's time to rest, but that rest begins and comes to us through the person of Jesus Christ. If you do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior this morning, we want you to know we're here for you. We'd love for you to give us a call here at the church office where we can build a relationship and where we can talk through the struggles, where we can pray with you, where we can share the truths of Scripture with you so that you might come to know this Savior. The Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. Maybe it's just been a rough week and you just need someone to take some time and listen and pray with you. We stand ready to do that. Would you give us a call here at the church? Let us pray with you, hopefully right there on the phone while you're with us, but if not, certainly later in that day or throughout the week. If there's a need in our community, would you please give us a call. Let us know. We've been called to be the hands and feet of our Savior. We long to show the love of our Savior, to love plain and simple by meeting needs as best that we can. In the meantime, I pray that this message has at least caused you to think and to reevaluate your need for a rhythm in your life, a rhythm of rest. I close this morning with a word of prayer that had been shared on another occasion it would be one I think we all would be wise to pray on a regular basis. So I ask you, I invite you, would you pray with me as we close? Heavenly Father, this world is crazy and chaotic. Everything is moving so fast, there seems to be no time to find rest. I pray we would make it a priority to rest in your peace today, to take a break from the never-ending to-dos and appreciate the life that you have given us, to explore with our senses and find joy in the stillness. Your power rejuvenates us, your word encourages us, and your presence is overwhelmingly powerful in our lives. Please help us to make time to seek you daily. Thank you for loving us. You truly are amazing, and you have gifted us much more than we deserve. May you be blessed by our lives, and may we be blessed by yours. In Jesus' name, amen.